Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. It's Mike, Bo, and Allie Mack at 6:42. And yeah, we got to jump right in on the Braves because, unfortunately, we were really hoping for a different outcome last night, but they lost 2-0 to the Phillies. And Spencer Strider ended up having a real big scare. Well, I guess Bryce Harper had the scare. Spencer Strider hit him in the first inning right in the elbow, and Bryce Harper left for the rest of the game. They did do an x-ray. There's nothing, no break right now, but he's going to be reevaluated this morning. How did you guys feel about that game last night? Again, another lackluster, not what we wanted.
Womp womp.
Yeah, I felt numb because I'm not angry about it. You did. That was frustrating, man, because you had so many chances. I think they left like 10 guys on base, Allie. I might be wrong. I might be off on that, but at one point it felt like that. The Phillies are not that much better than you, and Strider's not Strider right now.
Right.
And I'm gonna tell you, I fully expect him to get back to the 96, 97, 98 stuff where he can, because there was some at bats where you thought he was just waiting to rear back and put a guy away, and he couldn't at 11 pitch at bat to lead off the third inning, I think it was. It might have been Bryson Stott. I can't quite remember who it was. But I was like, all right, put him away. And he can't. And if he can't put guys away with 98, 99, and he doesn't develop that another out pitch, not good.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's starting to get back there, and this was, I think, more evident of that. You know, you did get the 7 Ks in the 4 2/3 pitching into the fifth inning. Strider was fine. The bottom line is, if we don't score a run, you can't win, right? And I think the most frustrating thing for me and my biggest takeaway from the game is you had a base runner in the first 8 innings. You had so many opportunities, and, you know, obviously the one inning sticks out where Matt Olson strikes out with the bases juiced. How is it possible that you have a runner in every single inning, but you're 0-for-2 with runners in scoring position? Like, I realize that Realmuto, the catcher, like, he poses a problem. They got to do a better job, though, of finding a way to get guys in scoring position and get, you know, hits with runners in scoring position and runners on base. I just, like, and Allie, this is an overall, and Raheem said this yesterday, so this is in the top of my 30,000-foot view. We're after Memorial Day now, which is kind of the one-third point in the season for a lot of baseball teams. I'm starting to get tired of having the same conversations. I really am. Like, and this is stretched out for over a year now where it's like, oh, you know, you are what the back of the baseball card says you are. Fine. All right, but we got to start. There's stuff that's not on the back of a baseball card that's starting to stick out. It's clutch hits. It's long at bats. It's putting pressure on starting pitchers. We're not good at it, and it's just frustrating to watch right now.
Well, and I think this entire season, we've all been a little bit frustrated with Matt Olson. And yesterday, there was a very heated debate on this show about whether Matt Olson was on a tear or not yesterday. And when those bases were loaded and he came up and was like, come on, Matt, just to change the narrative on the show.
Well,
please
change one person's narrative, Allie. Yeah. You and I are the same. Yeah, I was frustrated. You know what's
she's
funny?
On my side. What are you talking about?
You know what's no, she's not.
Yes, she is. He went 0-for-4 yet. Like,
she wasn't yesterday. She might be now.
I'm not saying he's on a tear. I'm not saying he's awful.
I'm sorry, but if you hit 5 home runs in your last 7 games going into last night or 8 games, that does qualify, I believe, as a tear. I don't care how many of them solo. The fact of the matter is he was not. You needed him last night. And I was with you. I was like, dude, do it. Like, come on. Had your back. But guess what? Marcelo Ozuna was equally as bad.
I agree.
And Marcelo Ozuna came up in the exact same spots.
Austin Riley had a bad at bat in that same inning.
I know Austin Riley more for legging out infield singles this year than I do hitting home runs and hitting big doubles and stuff. I also know that Ronnie had a couple of situations, you know, where you could have used something. But Ozzy's got a 12-game hitting streak, so.
Yeah, we got to go to NBA, but I just want to say this. There was 3 times last night. I want to say Sean Murphy, Michael Harris, and Matt Olson that, like, the ball, and there's, I think one of them was a slider, one of them was a splitter, like middle, like go zone, and you're not hitting. And that's really the frustrating part. How many times we talk about Raisel Iglesias? Oh, he's throwing balls off the plate, low in the zone, outside in the black, and he's getting tattooed. And when our guys get one middle-middle, it doesn't seem like they can make it work. So.
Well, and they've got another shot at it tonight. We've got Smith-Shawver against Zach Wheeler tonight. So hopefully there's a different story outcome for tomorrow. As far as the NBA playoffs, in the Eastern Conference, Pacers had no issues last night securing game four. Final score was 130-121, and John Halliburton was back in the house to see his son. Thank goodness, because Tyrese had an epic night, came in strong with 32 points, 12 rebounds, 15 assists, and zero turnovers. And of course, Tyrese did have some comments about his dad being back in the building.
Yeah, I was happy he was in the building. Obviously, Triple H was in the building. That might have been a little, I ain't gonna say it was more special, but Triple H being in the building was pretty fire too. And just obviously the excitement in the city, seeing all the former players coming out. You know, G Hill, who played with me for a little bit. Danny Granger, he said it was like his first time back in Indy. That's special. That's special for me. J.O. in the building. Obviously, Reggie on commentary. You know, it's special. And when you're winning, you can get people out the house to come watch you and support you, you know. So that's really exciting. And it's an exciting time to be a Pacer fan and be a Pacer alumni. We're just trying to, you know, keep playing the right way and, you know, playing the right way for our fans.
Was he more excited about anyone else besides his dad being in the building, especially Triple H?
I love that, man. That's good stuff.
Do you think he dropped in the middle of, like, at some point, he's like, I am the game to, like, one of the players? Like, because that's the Triple H's thing. He's like, yeah. I am the
I would respect
leaping
that.
Game.
I would respect that.
Historic triple-double. Like, you know, he said zero turnovers. I think it's the first time it's been done. And I saw something about Oscar Robinson when I was reading about
right.
it. So, unbelievable. Look, I love it because it means that the Knicks are a game from going home. And I think we all know that, you know, all the Knicks fans are bad people. I mean, they spit on Trey. They tried to beat up the guy wearing a Halliburton jersey, right? It was a Halliburton jersey guy
on. Yeah. And they went after Wendy, too. They threw trash at Wendy, wasn't it? Brian Windhorst?
So, well, you know, I mean.
I don't think they really recognized him.
When they make little LeBron movie, Jonah Hill's going to gain his weight back to play Wendy. But, look, I couldn't care less about Knicks fans. I love the fact that they suffer. Now, Mr. Quite Frankly, he gets to suffer, too, so.
Yeah, it was a very impressive performance from the Pacers last night. When you get the performance you get from Halliburton, you get another 30-piece from Pascal Siakam, who's been kind of like the other unsung hero, I think, of the Pacers this postseason, and Benedict Mathurin picked a amazing time to have his best game of the playoffs.
What a great name.
But Pacers played cleaner than the Knicks, and again, they've just been able to dictate the style of every game, I feel like, besides last game, so that's why they're up.
Well, nice. And game five is tomorrow in New York, 8 o'clock tonight. We have the Western Conference Timberwolves, Thunder, and OKC at 8:30 tonight. And now we got to get Germany ready for what's about to happen in November. So last time we talked about Bo getting to travel to Germany in November when the Falcons face the Colts, we kind of got you ready with phrases that you need to know, Bo. But I realize Germany actually needs to be more prepared for you and your tweets that will be coming their way.
Yes.
So I have gone through your Twitter feed. And we're going to play some of your tweets in German.
Yes.
And you're going to guess which ones they are, if you can remember.
Okay.
And then I'm going to translate them. But you know how Google Translate takes out the emotion?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mike will then deliver how they actually sounded. The interpretive.
Yes. This is going to be good.
Impression
I've been waiting
for
this moment my entire life.
All right, let's go with tweet number one.
Wenn du davon sprichst, dass Kirk Cousins nicht bei den OTAs war und nicht davon, dass Kyle Pitts nicht da war, musst du die Dinge neu bewerten.
This is the one that I said, if you're talking about Kirk Cousins not being at OTAs, then you need to reassess things because the bigger story is Kyle Pitts not being at OTAs in a contract year.
Wow. You know what? He nailed it. Mike, you just go ahead with how you would say it.
Here it is. If you're talking about Kirk Cousins not being at OTAs and not the fact that Kyle Pitts wasn't there, you need to reassess things.
I love it.
Hashtag Squid Life, Squid Nation.
I love it. All right, tweet number two.
Vielleicht solltest du mal recherchieren. White hat wörtlich gesagt, es sei seine Schuld. Die Anzeichen waren eindeutig. Es war Whites Schuld. Ende der Geschichte.
Any clue?
No.
All right.
There was one name that kept popping up. I thought you'd get it.
It's easier when you have the translation in front of
you. Yeah, exactly.
This one, Bo, is where you said, maybe you should do some research. White literally said it was his fault. The signs were clear. It was White's fault. End of story.
Oh, you put that so pleasantly, Alex.
Let me tell you something. This guy is always... is wrong. He always tweets wrong, and he's one of these people that never admits he's wrong.
Yeah. Here's what it really sounded like. Maybe you should do some research. White literally said it was his fault. The signs were clear. It was White's fault. End of the story.
It's so much better with Mike's interpretation.
That's not how I say it.
Because this is how Bo reads everybody else's tweets. Yeah. I just want to make sure he knows this is how he sounds.
This might be the best thing since the Key and Peele did that skit where he's translating for the president.
All right, let's try another one. Tweet number 3.
Ich liebe es, wenn Leute kleinlich darüber streiten, ob jemand wie Brock Purdy es wert ist. Oder noch schlimmer, wenn sie versuchen, die Sprüche »Lass sie es sich verdienen« und »Mach ihn dann zum Franchise«-Wort zu verwenden. Das funktioniert nie. Das ist selektiver Hass.
That was a long one, though.
Yeah.
So this one is probably about when Brock Purdy got his contract. And I said, I don't know the exact verbiage, Miss Allie, but it was something like, If you're complaining about Brock Purdy getting paid $55 million a year or something like that on average, then you don't realize that he is a franchise quarterback. You probably have an agenda because he's exactly what they want.
What led you to understand that was the tweet?
I heard Brock Purdy and I didn't hear the Brock Purdy part.
That's what I said.
The tweet translated to exactly verbatim. I love when guys try to nitpick if someone like Brock Purdy is worth it, or even worse, try to make them earn it and then franchise him. Lines that never works out. It's selective hating.
If I would.
Mm-hmm.
I love when guys try to nitpick if someone like Brock Purdy is worth it. Or even worse, try to use the make them earn it and then franchise him lines. That never works out. It's selective hating. There it goes.
All right. I think we have time for one more. This next one is short and so out of context that we have to play it. Tweet number 4.
Wie groß werden diese Ziegen? Frage für einen Freund.
It's so much more fun when you have the translation in front of you, I swear.
Wait, replay that again, Dallin.
Wie groß werden diese Ziegen? Frage für einen Freund.
I don't know, but it sounds like a cuss at somebody. I don't even cuss on Twitter. I don't cuss on Twitter, I know.
This one was, how big do those goats grow to be? Asking for a friend.
It's funny. I can't even rage translate this one because I'm pretty sure that's exactly how it sounded. Hey, how big do those goats grow to be? Asking for a friend.
That's pretty funny.
Oh my God, that was one of my favorite segments of all time.
The Germans are going to have so much fun when you come abroad.
Well,
Bo.
Because the only person that can sound as angry as the Germans when they speak is me.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, it's funny as I listened to Rammstein on the way in. So it's pretty, you know, obviously our German band I've seen before. Phenomenal concert.
It's just these
lots of fire.
Tweets. I'm so sad we didn't get these.
We'll save them. We have so many more.
Let me just do one more. I was ahead of my time. Now everyone goes to college for 5 to 7 years. Just look at college football these days.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty good. That's what he did. That's
pretty
good.
Oh, nice work, Allie. Nice work, my friend. Beautiful stuff.